look forward to hearing how these sisters and brothers touched your life. When someone close to us dies, our hearts are badly broken, and we never completely overcome the loss of our beloved. These losses are like a hollow space, a secret hole in our heart. And even when we feel we have come through this loss, we often, unexpectedly, out of nowhere, fall into the hole. A song, a question. How many
this
children
is the Reverend
do you have?
Beverly Brock.
You answer two
we joined about
when it's
10
really
minutes
three.
Late.
Or you stare at a photograph where your friend should be, but isn't. A hollow space left by your baby brother, even though he was 50 when he died. It's those times when the wave of grief hits you so hard that you have to hold on to the sides of the kitchen counter with both hands, waiting for the pain of remembering to subside. Often we try all sorts of ways to cope with or hide the hole, to run from them, pour alcohol in them, or build lock boxes for them. Some people even find themselves trapped in the hole. When we find ourselves in that painful hole, the most we can do sometimes is to reach out to family. Perhaps not the family that shares our DNA, but a chosen family to stand with us. Today, we gather as that chosen family, reaching out to one another, holding one another, being present for one another. We come together to remember friends, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, beloveds, whose death leaves us with a hollow space in our hearts. Together, though, as a family, as a community, we will begin to fill those hollow spaces with love as we share stories, photographs, playlists, poems, artwork of our loved ones. It is through our stories that our memories become a means to transform our grief, which is both universal and individual, and create for each of us a sanctuary of gratitude for the life of our loved one. Then every story, every memory, becomes a small resurrection of our loved one. Our gathering and community is also about hope. Hope that we will be able to feel our loved one's presence in their absence. Hope that we may see our loved one again. Hope in a Creator who loves us, guides us, and who holds us and our loved one in continuing life and possibility. Whatever reason you have gathered with us today, know that the Creator's unfailing and all-encompassing love embraces you this day and in the days to come. Let us be in the spirit of prayer or meditation. O wonderful weaver of the world, help us bridge the gap of separateness by reminding us of our unity with all creation. We come as single strands and ask that you weave us into your web of creation, together with earth and sky, water and fire, eagle and tree, young and old, housed and unhoused. May you listen to our hearts, enter into our pain, bless us and all who are in need this day with the comfort and the quiet of your presence. In your many names we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Beverly. So next, we will ask David Davis from the Homeless Persons Health Project to read the report that he's assembled. And I know he'll give us the kind of background and information on assembling that report and the details that go along with that. So thank you in advance, David, for reporting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And thank you, Reverend Beverly. My name is David Davis, and I'm an analyst with the Homeless Persons Health Project, one of the healthcare clinics under the Health Services Agency of Santa Cruz County. On behalf of our clinic, I will now present the annual report on deaths in 2021 for people experiencing homelessness in our county. As Phil had mentioned earlier, this is part of the larger National Remembrance Day for people who passed while experiencing homelessness. We remember and celebrate the lives of those we lost this past year, and it's typically held at the winter solstice. It's the shortest day of the year and is symbolic of the struggle to survive outside. And we're here today to celebrate those we have lost, to remember them, to hear from their families, friends, and our healthcare, shelter, and outreach staff who got to know so many of them over the years. First, a recap of 2021. One of, if not the most important resources when experiencing homelessness is shelter. And the danger and hazards of sleeping outside are well documented, but we will still touch on some of them in a little while. It is important to place this at the forefront when providing context on what happens every year. At the start of this year, the amount of shelter spaces in our county was larger than any other year, but as of now has dwindled. The COVID motel funding scheduled to run out last year was thankfully extended through most of this year, keeping our most vulnerable people sheltered. As of today, two of the six motels remain open and are funded through March 2022. Many of the people who stayed in one of the motels that closed received housing vouchers, and over 50 are already housed. These people were among the most vulnerable ones living on the streets prior to the pandemic. The National Armory Shelter in De La Viega Park, managed by the Salvation Army, was open, and they also opened an overflow camping area, but both are closing soon. The San Lorenzo Benchlands, not a shelter, but an encampment, has stayed open despite some community and city-led efforts to close it. The Salvation Army and Pajaro Valley shelters in Watsonville have remained open. On a sad note, the River Street shelter, after 30 plus years in operation, closed this past May, removing 32 beds from the shrinking shelter inventory in our county. Outside of the armory and motels at this time, there are around 300 shelter beds in total in the county, with many of them for specific groups of people, such as families, veterans, and others. If you are a single adult, there are less than 150 beds available and fewer still for walk-ins. If you are a single adult in the city of Santa Cruz, there are 85 beds with few, if any, openings. If it seems there are more people on the streets than ever before, is because there are fewer shelter beds than ever before. For the first time in many years, there are no City of Santa Cruz managed winter shelters open as of today. COVID-19 continues to take and complicate lives everywhere. Unlike last year, our homeless community was not spared as we lost three people this year to COVID. In addition to COVID-19 impacting our community, fentanyl led to a number of accidental overdose deaths this past year, and it was much more than just people experiencing homelessness. This also could have been worse without the availability of Narcan to save the lives of people who accidentally overdosed on opiates. Our clinic staff frequently hear about fentanyl overdoses and how Narcan helped save the person, preventing even more deaths in our county. In addition to providing training on how to administer Narcan, our clinic has distributed literally thousands of doses to the Santa Cruz Police Department, Sheriff's Office, community members, our patients, and literally anyone who asks. Most of the Narcan we have distributed is courtesy of Direct Relief, an international nonprofit organization. Lastly, we want to acknowledge all the shelter staffs, the County of Santa Cruz Health Services Agency, the County Human Services Department's Housing for Health Division, Abode Services, Housing Matters, Front Street Housing, Community Action Board, Food Not Bombs, Salvation Army, and so many others who work to keep shelters open and work with people to find housing. Statistically, here's what happened in 2021. This was by far the worst year for people experiencing homelessness in Santa Cruz. It seemed every day one of our staff would hear of another person who passed away. For the fifth year in a row, the number of people experiencing homelessness who have died increased from the previous year. While our county population has been spared an even larger loss of life from COVID-19, mostly through the efforts of our healthcare leaders and vaccinated population, what is becoming more apparent is there is another pandemic, or rather epidemic, coursing through the population of people experiencing homelessness, and that is plain and simply death. There were 95 people who died this year who were experiencing homelessness at the time, compared to 77 last year. This is more than just an ugly milestone number. It is more than just an unheard of 22% increase from last year. It is more than a larger number than last year for the fifth year in a row. It is 4.7% of the homeless population. It is one of every 21 people experiencing homelessness dying at some point during the year. Our county population is approximately 272,000 people. This past year, 2,049 people died in our county, roughly 0.75%, or one in every 133 people who live here. Looking at the housed and homeless population separately, one in every 139 people who were housed passed away, compared to one in every 21 people who were homeless. People experiencing homelessness died at 6.6 times the rate of the rest of the county population this past year. This is not acceptable. If people experiencing homelessness passed away at the same rate as those who were housed, we would have lost 15 of 2,032 people, not 95. If housed people passed away at the same rate as those experiencing homelessness, 12,853 people in the county would have died this past year instead of 1,954. The disparity between housed and homeless deaths continues to grow, emphasizing the need for more and affordable housing in our cities and county, amongst other services. In addition to the 95 people experiencing homelessness, another 56 people who were formerly homeless also passed away. They were housed at the time they passed, and we celebrate their lives as well. The average lifespan for housed people who died in our county this past year was 75.94 years. For men, it was 72.62, and for women, 79.33. For people experiencing homelessness, it was 52.08 years. For men, 53.75, for women, 47.11. For the 56 people who were formerly homeless and housed when they passed, it was 62.31. Housing contributes years to our lifespans, and experiencing homelessness at some point in your life literally takes years off, not coincidentally. 95 people experiencing homelessness died this past year, close to 24 years earlier than the average for housed people in our county. Of the 108 people in the entire county who were 40 years of age or younger when they died, 19 of them were experiencing homelessness. This works out to 4.6% of housed people died when 40 or younger, and 20% of people experiencing homelessness died when they were 40 or younger. People experiencing homelessness 40 years old and under died at 4.3 times the rate of those who were housed. These are shocking statistics and shed light on just how vulnerable the homeless population is and how life-threatening it can be to be homeless. COVID, long-term illnesses, accidents, heart disease, fentanyl and methamphetamine overdoses. All of these can explain some of the deaths. The one common element in all the premature deaths is living on the street year after year. Camping in the elements, no readily available water, lack of food, in particular healthy food, few public restrooms or laundry facilities. And then there is dealing with pre-existing trauma and new trauma, from stolen belongings, being assaulted, behavioral health stigma, substance use, and more. Having to sometimes wear dirty clothing and trying to sleep on the ground or sidewalk does not allow the body to rest and fight off infection. Two deaths were attributed to necrotizing fasciitis, which is a flesh-eating bacteria starting as a minor wound and quickly escalating to death if not identified and treated early. Our clinic, the Homeless Persons Health Project, is the largest provider of healthcare services in the county for people experiencing homelessness. And most, but not all, of our patients are in that population. One out of every 21 people experiencing homelessness entering our clinic this past year was likely to be dead by today. On average, we see around 80 to 90 people a day at our clinic for appointments, nurse visits, and more. Each day, that amounts to four people likely to have died by the end of the year. To put it in perspective, there were 2,049 deaths this past year overall for the county, 0.75% of our population. Santa Cruz has had 224 deaths from COVID since 2020. This is 0.8% of our population. The U.S. has suffered 800,000 deaths from COVID since 2020. This is 0.24% of the population. The total number of deaths in the U.S. in 2020 was 3.6 million. This is just over 1% of our population. In normal times, the leading cause of death in the U.S. is heart disease, killing 0.2% of the population each year. In Santa Cruz, if you're experiencing homelessness, you're 24 times more likely to die than someone dying from heart disease in our country, 4.5 more times likely to die than anyone in the country, 20 times more likely than anyone dying of COVID in the country, and 2.3 times more likely to die than people experiencing homelessness in Los Angeles County. These statistics could go on and on in detailing how life-threatening it is to experience homelessness in Santa Cruz or anywhere else. There are people who died who we would see every few days or week at our clinic. There are others who found housing and would still come to our clinic for their health care. There are some we would see occasionally during outreach activities or once in a great while for an appointment or supplies. And then there's a group of people who even our longest tenured staff and our nurses, who are in many parts of the county at least once a week, did not know, and they are now dead. Does this mean the county needs to do more outreach? The answer to that can always be yes. It is more of how that group of people can survive without pursuing help. The answer is not for as long as we would like. Of the 95 people who passed away, 25 of them had zero visits to any county clinic ever. Some had visited the ER and had multiple visits to the ER, and some had inpatient stays at a local hospital. Some may have gone to a private doctor or had not seen a doctor at all. The average age of death for this group of people was 47. The average age of people who had as few as one visit to a county clinic was 54, 7 years more. Their average number of visits to a county clinic was 35. This does not mean if you go to a county clinic, even once, you will live another 7 years. What it does mean is if you take care of your health, even while living outside, you can increase your life expectancy. An analysis of clinic appointments for those who have passed away in the past 3 years shows the younger someone is, the less likely they are to go to the doctor for preventive checkups or general illnesses. Many people wait until it is too late to address precursors to conditions such as hypertension, diabetes, and COPD, to name a few. Simple wounds can lead to infections, abscesses, and sepsis if not addressed at the outset. Many life-threatening conditions can be stabilized through medications, rest or exercise, and other mitigating factors. Experiencing homelessness and having one or more of these conditions and diseases can be overwhelming and very difficult to deal with. The earlier the condition can be treated, the better off you will be. What can we do? There is more help on the way. Our county, led by the Human Services Department's Housing for Health Division, secured 338 permanent housing vouchers from the state and federal governments this past September. These vouchers are being used to house people who are medically vulnerable. Housing Matters is building a five-story, 120-unit permanent supportive housing complex on Coral Street. It breaks ground this coming year. Next month, Santa Cruz will be part of a nationwide effort to determine how many people are experiencing homelessness in each county. This point-in-time count is done every 2 years, but not since 2019 due to the pandemic. This will help to assess the impact of our efforts and where we need to direct funding for services. If you are a landlord in Santa Cruz County, please consider accepting vouchers when filling vacancies. Many voucher holders have case management services attached to their vouchers. The easiest thing you can do to help reduce homelessness and to help keep people housed in our county is to provide a home by renting to voucher holders. Some last thoughts. If I can indulge for a moment with an appeal to people experiencing homelessness, please know there are resources available to help you throughout the county. If you see our outreach nurses or other outreach workers, feel free to speak with them about wound care, illnesses, vaccines, supplies you need, and anything else. Healthcare at the Homeless Persons Health Project is free if you have no insurance. We can also help you apply for Medi-Cal insurance. You may also be eligible for food stamps or general assistance. We will take things at your pace and will not pressure you to pursue any type of help you do not want at the moment. Meet people where they're at is our motto. Quite frankly, we will do anything we can to keep you off the list of names we read each year at this memorial. As a tribute, we would like to list the professions of some of the people who passed as a reminder of their contributions to all our lives. They include waitress, artist, musician, line worker, graphic artist, electrician, yoga instructor, day laborer, HVAC installer, car salesman, farmhand, plumber, truck driver, architect, and so many others. In a little while, you will see and hear the musical talent on display of just two of the people who passed this year. Remember these tangible things and what people experiencing homelessness have to offer our community. No one chooses to live on the streets. Homelessness is a matter of circumstances, and when it occurs, should be of limited duration. Additional statistics are available. You may contact us at hphpreferral@santacruzcountyus for a copy. For national statistics, visit the National Healthcare for the Homeless Council at nhchc.org. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much for the care and thoughtfulness that you put into the report. I know we really appreciate it. So next, we will have five speakers from various organizations and read the names of all 95 people who died this past year unhoused and the 56 people who were previously unhoused in the community and also died this past year. And first, Peggy, thanks for doing this. And I really appreciate you being here and all the work that you and Wings have done to support our community over the many years.
Thank you, Phil. It's a privilege to be a participant today.
And here's the first name. And just a note for everyone, this is not in alphabetical order.
Jane Butler, age 34. Leland Hill, age 43. Kevin Cartwright, age 72. David Alvarez, age 60. Rick Coffey, age 57. Michael Amend, age 56. Joseph Simmons, age 69. Angus Andrews, age 44. Marcia Angelo, age 67. Zachary Appleman, age 57. Miguel Hernandez, age 58. Shay Artiaga, age 26. John Carr, age 70. James Asbury, age 92. Rama Cast, age 43. Brian Bailey, age 63. Dennis Ballard, age 52. Paul Granados, age 46. John Bannister, age 65. Tony Jacobs, age 55. Leo Bayes, age 65. Ricardo Lopez, age 68. Richard Somers, age 54. Jeffrey Bland, age 65. Dennis Bridges, age 71. Mark Brody, age 68. Shander Campos, age 43. Donald Andre, age 69. Nicholas Chirolo, age 31. Alian Collins, age 75.
Thank you, Peggy.
Yeah.
And next is Cheryl Norte from the County of Santa Cruz Housing for Health Department. Thank you, Cheryl.
Phil, thank you so much for having me. It is an honor. And to all whose names we are reading, may they rest in perfect peace. Sandra Coronel Godinez, age 51. Ashanti Kraft, age 51. Wayne Cunningham, age 55. Mario Candelario, age 65. William Falzone, age 72. Dexter Day, age 57. Walter Lilly, age 60. Amy DiBattista, age 36. Robert DiCicco, age 56. Gracie Huff, age 34. Renee Driscoll, age 39. Jack Edwards, age 67. Raymond Felix, age 54. Jose Flores, age 51. Gregory Forbes, age 40. Maria Garcia, age 53. Manuel Ventura, age 72. Loreto Garcia Max, age 43. David Grijalva, age 55. Mary Gavin, age 68. Daniel Gordinas, age 46. John DeHaven, age 56. Thomas Harris, age 68. Daniel Hartley, age 37. Deborah Helick, age 63. Joel Hernandez Oliveira, age 48. Sean Alday, age 31. Rodolfo Hernandez Velasquez, age 64. Anthony Souza, age 86. Catherine Hillman, age 50.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you so much. And Miley.
I'm here. I'm Miley Ernest from Housing Matters, and I'll be continuing on.
Thanks, Miley.
Shannon Huel Zell Puente, age 50. James Hoffman, 41. Teresa Hopkins, age 64. Leroy Hubble, age 65. Raymond Hurt, age 73. Robert Johnson, age 54. Victor Juarez Guzman, age 54. Laura Petty, age 43. Barry Kane, age 49. John Kennedy, age 56. Mary Curie, age 95. James Leamy, age 76. Sean Lee, age 48. Darren Zanola, age 58. Ruben Leon, age 57. Martin Baker, age 54. David Lindberg, age 55. Stephen Lopes, age 45. Guy Lavelle, age 56. Chantel Luca, age 19. James Lyle, age 67. Stephen McMurray, age 58. Sorry. Aurora Malady, age 40. Victoria Maldonado, age 46. Alfonso Menzaneres, age 46. Alan Wilkerson, age 56. Isaac Marquez Bascasegua, age 22. Terry Maripo, age 60. Daniel Mastin Sr., age 62. Jesse McKeever, age 44. Antonio Mendez, age 66.
Thank you, Miley. Good morning, Dr. Ratner.
Good morning, Phil. Thank you for including me in the service and appreciate all the work that staff from Housing Matters and HPHP have done to pull this together and honoring people's lives and the importance of having a home for our health. Thank you for the chance to honor the people who passed.
Thank you for being here.
Ricardo Mendez, age 25. Lori Mendoza, age 48. James Thorup, age 64. Diana Myring, age 62. And Angel Mesa Reyes, age 22. James Mitchell, age 67. Gerald Olson, age 76. Enrique Oriarte, age 65. Gary Oriarte, age 67. John Palmer, age 53. Kevin Wilson, age 55. Laura Park, age 59. Jared Peterson, age 77. David Pickens, age 61. Jose Pinto Sahagun, age 39. Kaylee Piper, age 71. Daniel Polmachek, age 44. Martha Prashadio, age 73. Phoenix Barker, age 27. Roberto Ramirez, age 59. Alfredo Ringel, age 79. Eric Rianda, age 48. Jason Robinson, age 39. Abel Rodriguez, age 42. Michael Ryan, age 60. Paul Santos, age 42. James Shalnikov, age 56. Michael Yeager, age 36. Barry Schuler, age 58. Carol Schwartz, age 71.
Thank you. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the honor of speaking today.
Thanks for being here, Matt.
Laban Silk, age 62. Kenneth Sears, age 72. Patrick Sin, age 51. Emily Sizemore, also known as Emily Barnett, age 33. Angela Smith, age 48. Teresa Solorio, age 70. Stephen Palmer, age 47. Stephen Staker, age 46. Gary Taylor, age 38. Brian Thomas, age 33. Christina Trujillo, age 60. Christopher Turner, age 60. Ramon Valdovinos, age 52. John Valley, age 69. Bernardo Vidal Morales, age 60. Bartolo Vivenzi, age 69. Christy Waller Ewings, age 60. David Trujillo, age 54. Patricia Weber, age 64. Leroy Wilshire, age 60. Malcolm Yahiku, age 64. Tommy Moore, age 55. Mark Burton, age 77. Aaron Robertson, age 43. David Fullerton, age 59. George Todd, age 75. David Marquez Rueda, age 53. Joan Alameda, age 61. George Abraham, age 56. Kenny Reeves, age 49.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you to all of the readers. And now we will there's an opportunity for any of you, for anyone in the community who's on, who's here today to speak, to share a story, a poem, a remembrance, a reflection, recollection of someone who's died this past year. And we have our community room here at Housing Matters set up with a video camera and if someone would like to speak in the community room. And then we'll also look for people that are on the call to raise their hand and we'll invite you to also share a reflection or remembrance. Is there anyone in the community room waiting to speak or share something? Okay. Not seeing anybody there. Is there Tyler? Is there anyone in the...
I don't see any hands up at the moment.
Okay.
I did open up the chat if anybody wants to listen that way.
Well, it looks like we have someone here at Housing Matters. So if you can hear us all right.
I can hear you. Yeah, my name is Chris Braun. I'm new to Santa Cruz. I'm here 2 months now. Me and my wife just moved here. We moved from San Jose. I worked with the homeless in San Jose for about 15 years, doing homeless breakfasts and that type of thing with our church where we went to church. And I moved here, and it's been a passion or a soft spot for me as a homeless my whole life. It's kind of like my big thing. I just wanted to put a word out that I do a radio show on KSCO called Eugene Madigan is Homeless, Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., I'd love to hear from anybody in the community, from homeless, from Housing Matters, I'm just learning all the different people that work here in the city, and I see there's a lot of organizations doing great things. I've already met about 15 homeless people. I do homeless interviews on the street with them, and there's a lot of very interesting, educated, smart people right now that need a place to stay. And I think it's really important. The more we talk about it, and the more we share ideas and concerns, I think the more we learn and the better the situation will be as we go forward. And that's it.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And is there Anyone else? Someone else who'd like to share a recollection or remembrance? I don't know if you can see that. It looks like there's someone has raised their hand.
Yep. Hey, Jan, I'll go ahead and allow you to talk.
Hi, I just want to say Brian Thomas died in April. And I just want to say that I want to appreciate the guys he was staying with at the Veterans Hall in Watsonville, that they went out and searched for him when no one else was caring what happened. And that the stigma of being homeless is so horrendous. And I just really want to appreciate their efforts. He struggled with mental illness for years and was looking for relief. And I am glad that he is no longer in that struggle, but I miss him and his children miss him.
Thank you, Jan.
Hey, Matt, go ahead. All right, Matthew Barnett, I see your hands up. If you want to say something, go ahead.
Sorry, that was a mistake on my part.
Okay.
Anyone else, you can chat in or raise your hand. Anyone there in our community room? Okay. So a few, I wanted to include this video, this music video, kind of in this section is kind of a remembrance.
This is take two, Ian Crosby and Aurora Malik. Performing No Plans, SoCalMusic.tv.
I made no plans to play. Sometimes I like it better that way. By my stereo side, I will say nothing you can do to get me out the house. I'm so busy some worries were ever met. I smile purely and completely for the element. I cry in time and believe me, I'm aware of it. I am the captain, I write the captain. I play the beat to keep the spirits happy. This is my mansion for walls and the mattress that my keeps expanding. Horizons are endless. Heights that I rise to inspire and contend with. The facts of my content so where resides are nothing sanctuary. I know you heard me say nothing you can do to get me out the house today. I know you heard me say nothing you can do to get me out the house today. I made no plans to play, but sometimes I like it better that way. By my stereo side I will say nothing you can do to get me out the house today.
Never mind the house, I ain't even getting out of bed. Spend a couple of rhymes to ease the pressure that expresses. Flip my head with the doja, ease my angst. Not trying to smile and give thanks, for my happiness is not dictated by whether or not I got money in the bank. Face increased by struggles I face. Every day high, just got good taste. We go with the flow, but your brain is the road, cause there ain't no time to waste. We'll be real to warm the light, the spark and ignite the heart. The crew is forever ready to give the deadly. We'll make our mark, step to any challenge. We stand his guard and have his bourbon and ready to bring this place.
My heart and give me balance. My heart and give me balance.
Aurora is one of the names that that we read this this year, someone who died this past year. Is there any, just want to open this up again before we move over to Stacy from hospice. Is there anyone who'd like to share a story, poem, reflection? All right, thank you. I can get out of this.
Hey, Phil, looks like a couple of people raise their hands if we can.
Great.
We'll start with Matt first. Matt Nathanson.
Hello. Hey, Matt. Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you fine.
Thank you. Wow. I'm kind of floored by both the number of people who have passed away this year, and for me, so many of these people who I feel, so many people I feel like I have known for so many years. It really is just overwhelming. So I just want to, first of all, thank everybody for continuing the tradition of this memorial through these past two crazy pandemic years. I think it's just really important that we do this at the minimum to acknowledge people. I feel like I could go on for hours with all these names, but two that really struck me. One, somebody who was fortunately not still homeless at the time of her death, the oldest person on that list, Mary Corey. I think anybody who has worked in homeless services for a number of years, we'll remember Mary, who was one of the, I would say, could be one of the most challenging people to work with. And there was great irony that the back of her scooter always said "Sweet Mary" on the back. I just think about that. And Mary's tenaciousness and toughness, it's just a reminder that those kind of sometimes crusty personality features are really survival mechanisms. And it's a true testament that she outlived the odds that David so eloquently pointed out by making it to age 95. The other person that just really hit home for me is a woman named Joan Alameda, who I believe was one of the people who died as the result of an accident. I mean, physical trauma, being struck by cars is a real hazard of sleeping out on the streets. And I knew Joan on and off for years, mostly in the Watsonville area. often seen with a little baby carriage with her little dog inside of it. I know her dog passed away before she did, and I think that was a huge blow. The last time I saw her, she was actually at the Roadway Inn. We were going over there to vaccinate a number of people, and so I got to reconnect with her. Joan, one of the stories I just remember is another example of just how hard our systems make it for people who are homeless, was somebody who was disabled for many years, was getting Social Security disability, but really almost lost it just because of kind of a pathological inability to deal with bureaucracy. And, you know, she would get letters from them that would just totally freak her out. And ultimately she did ask for help and kind of was able to get help to sort of sort through the bureaucracy and keep kind of an economic lifeline. But Joan just, when Joan was on, she just had the best smile. And I'm just so sad she's gone. Anyway, thank you all for doing this. It's really important to continue this trend. I'll stop there.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. And Tyler, looks like there are a few more people that raised their hand, but over to the community room.
And then Evan, if you can unmute as well.
I'll be brief. My name is Margarita, and I wanted to just say briefly that anytime we miss someone that we have been close to and known, even miss them once, we will always miss them forever. But also, and I wanted to share a small poem that I wrote this year, because it's important to remind ourselves that because we miss people that are very significant in our lives, we have to remember that they were significant to us for very important reasons. But let's remember that we most certainly must continue to go on very much in their memory as well. And this is the poem that I wrote. You will never be deserted so long as you don't desert yourself. And we owe it not only to ourselves, but to the people that we have lost this year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margarita.
Thank you. Then we'll go to Allie.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. So I've been in Santa Cruz a couple years now, and I'm homeless. I'm currently in one of the motels. And the first person I met at Salvation Army Winter Shelter was Dexter. And he befriended me really quickly, and I was really standoffish of people. And, you know, he was a great friend to me through the course of a couple of years. And, you know, people said to me, or you heard, you know, that you lose people quickly out here on the streets. And, I didn't see that, or I didn't hear that through the course of the couple of years that I've been homeless. And this year really hit hard with all the people that we lost. And Dexter's one that for me will be forever greatly missed. He was a great friend to me and always accepted me as just me for whatever I was going through. You know, I could always just talk to him, and it's just really sad to me that he's gone. And so I just wanted to make sure that I said a little something for him. And, you know, there's some other names that popped up through the course of the reading that I didn't realize were gone or that I would even recognize. And so, yeah, I mean, this year's been, we've lost a lot of people this year that this year's made me realize that that is, you know, definitely true. We, life's hard out here on the streets, and we do lose them too soon and too quick. So thank you for letting me speak and for letting us be remembered.
Thanks for sharing, Allie. I don't see anybody in the community room, so we'll go with Jen Rosher.
Hello. Hi, my name is Jen. I wanted to share a couple of words about Tommy Moore. Tommy was somebody who I met about 2 years ago. Tommy had a big personality. I'm sure a lot of you on this call knew Tommy. He probably cussed a bunch of you out. but as big of a personality as he was also one of the kindest, most grateful and appreciative people that I had the opportunity to work with. And I just want everybody who is on this call who maybe doesn't know, to know that he was housed for the last 6 months of his life. He got into a great apartment. He was over in Live Oak. He could hear the waves from his bedroom. He had a nice comfy bed, and he was safe and he was warm. He was taking care of a lot of medical things that he wasn't able to take care of when he was either outside or in the shelter. He had reconnected with his son. He hadn't had any communication with his son for 26 years. And one day he came to our office and he told me, he said, "Jen, I heard from my son and I got to tell him I loved him. And he told me he loved me back." And I remember one of the things that he said that day is he said, it's not just me anymore. You know, it's not just me anymore. He was reconnected with family. He was loved. And I know that prior to his passing, he was able to host a Friendsgiving party at his new apartment. He was able to invite all his friends over and cook a delicious feast. I heard that it was a really great party. I don't know where my invitation was lost, Tommy, but just kidding. But everybody there said it was a really great thing. And if you knew Tommy, you'd know that he was a really generous soul, and I'm sure that that meant everything in the world for him to be able to host a party at his own home. And so I just want to also just send all my love to all the different agencies who helped Tommy. He worked with Downtown Streets Team, HPHP, Whole Person Care, all the staff at the Armory and at Santa Cruz Vets Hall. I know that you guys over the years took really good care of him. And I just want to send a shout out because Tommy, you are gone, but you are far from forgotten, and we'll all be telling stories about you for many years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. And Tyler, is there anyone else? It looks like someone in the community room.
Yep. Whoever's in the community room, but you can go ahead.
Hi, everybody. So many of these names were fixtures on our campus at Housing Matters. Jane Butler was a very spirited Irish woman, and we shared a love for Irish food. I think not a lot of people can agree with that love of Irish food. But also Dexter Day, Allie, thank you for talking about him. He was so special. He always used to laugh about his cross-country trip with a group of drag queens to, I think, Dolly World. He was the best. So many. Loretta was a special fixture here as well. Aurora's sense of style. And then Kenny Reeves, you know, I know he just passed, and you know, he told me to F off so many times. And you know what? I honestly will miss that. He was spirited and fun and you know, lived hard. And I'll miss all of them. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. do you see anyone else?
I don't.
Okay. Oh, there's Brian.
Hey, everybody.
Brian.
I'm Brian Lance. I'm the Service Navigation Coordinator. God damn it. At Housing Matters. And I think one of the hardest parts about coming to these is sometimes seeing the names of people that you didn't even know had passed away. And just the shock. These people that you like always still thought that you were going to see, like a little bit later, you know, you're going to either get a call, phone call from them, or you're going to run into them on the street or a shelter. And just the shock of knowing that you're never going to see them again is just so overwhelming sometimes. And I know that in this work, we often have to try and maintain a certain degree of professional boundaries and distance, but it's impossible to do. And some of the people that have passed away this past year, you know, I see them more often than I see my family. They're almost like family, and like losing them is almost like that.
That's true.
And I'm so glad that we do this memorial to bring this kind of stuff to light. And one person I want to bring up is a gentleman named Christopher Turner, who passed away this year. Christopher Turner was particularly special to me. He was the first, he was one of the first people I met here at Housing Matters when I first worked here, November 5th, 2014. My first day, I remember Chris sitting down with him on a bench. It was raining, it was cold, and his jacket zipper wouldn't zip up. And I just sat there and talked to him while I messed with some needle-nose pliers and got his zipper working again. And from then on, it was just like, I'm always checking on Chris, making sure he's safe, making sure he's warm, got a jacket or something. And I want to say I'm so thankful that last year he was able to get into one of the hotel shelters of the Oceana. And not only did he get into the shelter, he was able to stay there. The staff there were so freaking cool. Malachi, if you're on this, I so appreciate you and your staff appreciating Chris. He was such a sweet guy, such a weird guy in such a great way, but difficult at times, and which is why it was sometimes hard for him to stay in shelters. But the time that he spent there was probably the first time he'd slept in a real bed in I don't know how long. And he also was able to get housed through our permanent supportive housing program, 180-2020, or whatever we're calling it now.
Together.
180 together. And he was housed. Unfortunately, he passed away about a month after, but he was housed. And I'm so thankful that Chris had that chance, had that.
Thanks for all you do, Brian. Thank you, Brian. Would anyone else like to speak? Comment, story, reflection? Just saying someone's name. Peggy.
I just wanted to reflect on Steve McMurray. He was our second Wings client 12 years ago, 11 years ago. He went by Big Mac, and he was larger than life all the way around. He was a bit of a challenge, of course, but he was a lovely, lovely man, and we enjoyed working with him probably a couple of years. So I just wanted to reflect on Big Mac.
Thanks, Peggy. Would anyone else like to just say someone's name? Share a remembrance? All right, Stacey, I know we've kind of had you there and really appreciate you joining us again. Stacey Pratt from Hospice of Santa Cruz. Thanks so much for being here, as you've done so in the past. Thanks, Stacey. Yeah.
Thank you, Phil. It's really an honor to be here again. And as Phil said, I'm Stacey. I'm with Hospice of Santa Cruz County in the Grief Support Department. And we offer grief information and support not only to friends and family of hospice patients, but also to community members. So I just want to let everyone know that we do have grief resources on our website. You can see the website on the slide here, hospicesantacruz.org. We have information for adults and information related to supporting youth in grief as well, that anyone can access through the website. And we also offer short-term grief counseling, and we can also help with referrals to longer-term counseling if people need it. And if you're interested in talking with us more about grief support, you're welcome to give a call at the number on the slide, 831-430-3000, and just ask for the grief support department. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Stacey, and for all the work that that you do and you provide. Thanks so much. Real quickly, and we're about at the end of the program today. For a number of years, we've been working to establish a permanent memorial site. There isn't a place in the county, and there's a area, let's say more than a plot, but an area there kind of in the middle screen in a black and white at Evergreen Cemetery here in the Harvey West neighborhood, so nearby, that's been set aside for this. We've been working over the last couple of years with HPHP, the Santa Cruz the Museum of History, MA, better known as MA, as well as the Santa Cruz Arts Council, and we, Housing Matters, have been working on this, raising some funds for this, applying for grants for this, and if you'd like to learn more, we're hopefully this, I thought we'd be done by now, but we're working on just doing the first excavation and building a retaining wall and putting in a, for lack of a better word, a floor, some type of a compacted gravel. So just the start of building the site out. And the idea will be that it'll include some local artists at the tannery. Actually want to, were selected through an RFP process, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, losing track of time. And the proposal will include these tile mosaics on the back of this wall of people's faces. And it's really cool. You can see one example there on the screen. So we're working on that. If you'd like to learn more, you can go to Evergreen Memorial SC. Again, Evergreen Memorial SC. .org to learn more about that. And Beverly, I will close our program today.
Thank you, Phil. Listen to these words by Rabbi Raymer. In the rising of the sun and its going down, we remember them. In the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter, we remember them. In the opening of buds and in the rebirth of spring, we remember them. In the blueness of the sky and in the warmth of summer, we remember them. In the rustling of leaves and in the beauty of autumn, we remember them. In the beginning of the year and when it ends, we remember them. When we are weary and need of strength, we remember them. When we are lost and sick at heart, we remember them. When we have joys we yearn to share, we remember them. So long as we live, they too shall live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them. So take time today to light a candle, sit in silence, stare out at the ocean, take a walk, listen to some music, offer to volunteer at Housing Matters, and remember them. And now may the peace of all that is holy be with you now and always. Amen.
Thank you, and thanks everyone who was here today and participated by being here, by speaking, by sharing, by just reflecting and remembering. Thank you, and stay well. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, Phil.